Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. I will not reread it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the penitential season of Advent is often called a little Lent. It is intended to be a period in the church that God's people, gathered around God's word and receiving God's gifts, his sacraments, are made ready for the Lord's return. And if he delays, for his historic celebration of his birth. As you know, this task is growing ever more difficult because our minds are so focused on celebrating Christmas that we have very little time left in our minds for Advent. Why, Christmas, it seems, is everywhere. It's in stores, on TV, at school, and at work. But to get to the birth of our Lord, we must first travel through the season of Advent. You see, since at least the 6th century, the Christian church has been starting the new year, the new church year, with the season of Advent. And so the purple pyramids come out, the Advent wreath is lit, the hymn of praise and the glory and excelsis are omitted from the divine services to set a subdued tone for our weekly worship. Advent calls the church out of the glitz and glamour of a sappy, consumer-driven Christmas to slow down, to reflect on why the Christ child is to come and to be born in a virgin. And with repentant hearts and minds, prepare ourselves for the coming Christ. Our gospel text, that is our Luke text, seems a little out of place, doesn't it? Here we are celebrating our Lord's Palm Sunday account, and yet it's by design the lectionary does this. You see, it causes us to think of why the Lamb of God comes. Luke's account of Jesus' triumphal entry stands right between, in Luke's gospel, two judgment passages. The parable of the minas and Jesus telling of the temple being destroyed and then cleansing it. And right in the middle, sandwiched between these two judgment passages, comes Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of a donkey, an animal that had never been ridden before, that the disciples had gotten, well, finally with permission from the owner. And then the disciples, all of the disciples, it seems, start screaming, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory in the highest." As it seems that for Luke, the triumphal entry of Jesus is to hearken us back to the announcement of the angels to the shepherds at the birth of our Lord himself. As the Advent season begins by joining Christmas and Easter rightly together for us. You remember the angel's message, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace be among those with whom he is pleased." Sounds familiar, right? You see, for the Christian, this is a necessary connection. That the peace and joy of the birth of the Virgin Son are won for us at Jerusalem's cross. As Jesus will be welcomed either with peace and joy, or with the hatred that will cry out one day, "Crucify him." Think about it. We can see crowds like this even today. If for some strange reason I had a gift, and I don't, please understand that, but if I had the ability to say today at 1 o'clock this afternoon in downtown West Bend, Jesus is coming. And we told everybody, because we'd want everybody to know, right? People would show up. Right? Believers would show up. Unbelievers would show up. Why, parents with their children and their extra busy schedules would take time to show up so the kids could get a glimpse of Jesus. But not everybody in the crowd would have faith before or after. Some would be just like the Pharisees in our text, wanting those who actually believe in Jesus to shut up. "Teacher, rebuke your disciples," they say. The confession of Christ Jesus always seems to produce two primary reactions. You either will throw your cloak on the robe or cut a palm branch down on the ground and declare him king, or with hate-filled eyes, you will turn your back on Jesus and want his disciples just to be quiet. And isn't it amazing, in a culture that we live in, that there are so many people who would say they have no belief in Jesus at all, they have no belief in God at all, and yet, when they decide they have to curse something, it's always in Jesus' name or in God's name. You never hear somebody say, by Zeus, a curse, or by Thor, a curse, or by Brahma, a curse, or even by Allah. It's always Jesus or God. The amazing thing about that is when they curse, they do so in the name of God, and in doing so, they are proclaiming the inescapable fact of Christ, of the power of God. Despite all their best efforts to ignore any acknowledging of God, even in their foul language, even in their cursing, they acknowledge his authority. See what Jesus is meaning when he says, in response to the Pharisees, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would cry out. For even those in their foulest moments are crying out. Not that I'm encouraging swearing in the name of the Lord for evangelism efforts. That's not what I'm calling for, please. But despite our sinful nature's best efforts to avoid the manger and avoid the cross, this connection, many at this time of the year will feel something is missing at Christmas. Now, a lot of people will tell us that it's because it's a depressing time psychologically, lack of sun and all these other things, but there's something more missing from Christmas than sun. There's something more missing than friends and family. There's something more missing than having a tree or presents, than having a big meal. That empty feeling that something is still missing, or more precisely, someone is still missing, is just the fact of Christ in the Christmas. For it is he who brings peace and joy. And he is ignored and replaced in our culture so quickly. He's ignored and replaced with stress of finding the perfect gift. Because this year the kids will be happy with me. For a minute. Then tell them to put the toy down. And they're not happy with you anymore. Why do you ruin my life? Receiving just what I wanted, or complaining of how this is just too much work. I'm never going to do it again. Till next year. So we might be asking ourselves, how could God be at peace with a world that disregards him, that ignores him, that takes his blessings for granted? How could he be at peace with a world that blatantly ignores his will? How could he be at peace with a world that has taken the celebration of the birth of his only begotten Son and turned it into just another day to eat, drink, and be merry? How could God be at peace with me, a sinner? And you see, if we're going to fix what's missing in Christmas, we have to rediscover the purpose of Advent. Advent's hymns are wonderful at calling us back to an understanding of proper understanding of this time of the year. Listen to the repentant call of hymn 345. Hark, a thrilling voice has sounded, Christ is near. We hear it say, cast away the works of darkness, all you children of the day. Cast away the works of darkness. Look at your lives and turn once more from sin. Repent. Think about your lives, your hopes, your dreams. What are you looking forward to? What are you planning for? Are your hearts set merely on things of this world? On toys or vacations? On a more stable financial future? What do you want out of life? What are your goals? Are your goals that God would have for you? Or are you thinking of the life to come? Or are you setting your sights only on things of this world where moth and rust will come and destroy? Are you putting your money in things to please yourself? Or are you investing in eternity? The season of Advent is one of assessment. It's a time to remember that things of this world are indeed already passing away. A time to set our hearts once more upon things that are above. A time to look at the child who came to die. A time to crucify our sinful passions and desires. For only in this coming King's death and resurrection we will have peace and joy. And so we sing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest," as we join our voices with that of the disciples. And we remember that we have been baptized in the name of this Lord. Returning to our baptism, we renounce once more the devil and all his works and all his sinful ways. We don't simply cry out against the evils of this world. We cry out against the evils in our own heart. We recognize the troubles we have caused, the damage we have done, the friends we have hurt, and the responsibilities we have not met. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And we who have his name given to us, take up then our crosses as his forgiven and repentant and forgiven children and follow him. Hearing his word and receiving his gifts, his very body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine. So we must set our face towards the season of Advent as we prepare to celebrate his manger, his cross, and yes, his empty tomb, knowing that these are the only source of peace and joy in this life. Yes, Advent is a time of repentance and sadness over sin, but it is also a time of hope. I love the pink, the Gaudente, the joy candle in the middle of the season of Advent. There you have it, third week. For we sinners have a Savior. And if the end is near in Christ, is the Christian new beginning. If we have made a mess of our lives, Jesus the Christ has come to make all things right. And he will come again. For the world, Christmas is a big game of pretend. Of creating a peaceful world that does not exist. Speaking of a peace that does not exist. But for the Christian, Christmas is life itself. Therefore, in this season of Advent, let us prepare our hearts once more for our Lord's coming. Let us cast away the works of darkness and be adorned with every good work and with acts of charity and generosity towards our neighbor. Let us forgive as we have been forgiven, and let us embrace the child who came to embrace us all. And let us offer up our lives as a gift to one another, to the one who came to offer up his life as a gift for the salvation of all. No wonder the disciples were willing and echoing the angel's proclamation. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.